Well, it's Queensland Day, the 6th of June. And so to learn a bit about Queensland's history, how it was that we started out to become this great state, I'm joined by Stephen Sheaf, who is the president of the Queensland Historical Society. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning to you and all your listeners.
So I guess the first big question for Queensland Day is, of course, how did Queensland go about gaining independence from New South Wales?
Well, you're asking a legal question in many respects as to how, but when New South Wales was settled, firstly by a penal settlement with Governor Phillip, it was really a dictatorial establishment, military dictatorship. Over time, New South Wales was granted civil rights. They had constitutions, and their constitution was amended on many occasions. And it wasn't until the 1840s that their constitution provided for the possibility that there'd be a northern colony in New South Wales. And it said that if the local community agitated for a northern colony and presented petitions to the Queen, then that would occur. And that's exactly what did occur. In the 1855 Act, that provision was applied. Petitions were presented, and there were a number of petitions. Some of them were against, early peaks, some of them were against, but eventually they all were in favour. They were very strongly in favour. A petition was presented to Queen Victoria, and on the 6th of June, 1859, in London, she signed the letters patent that had the effect of creating a colony in the northern part of New South Wales, which was called Queensland. So that was very persuasive for her to do this, by the way, because they really named one state after her. Her name was Victoria, and the next one was Queensland. So she got a name on both occasions. So that was signed, but it wasn't to take effect until the document was read and presented in Queensland. And that occurred on 10th of December, 1859, when the appointed governor had arrived. They caught a horse and buggy, and drove to Mr. Hobbs's house, which is now the manse next to St. John's Church in Ann Street. And that building is exactly as it was in 1859. The veranda is exactly as it was. However, the vistas all changed. Those days, the manse used to extend right down to the river. And the throng of people below, there were literally many, many hundreds of people came to witness the reading of the proclamation, and that occurred on 10th of December, 1859, and that's when Queensland was born. However, the 6th of June is Queensland Day, and that's the day that Queen Victoria signed the letters patent for all this to take effect. It's really like our conception day, 10th of June, 4th of June, and 10th of December is our birthday. Is the day we're in fact born. So it's a great day today, and a lot of organisations will be celebrating Queensland Day and the day we came into being, in a sense.
Yeah, so I guess that analogy, that's like our conception day and our birthday is in December, is a really good analogy. What were some of the reasons that you think it was so popular to become our own colony back in the 1850s?
Well, the forces are still the same today in many respects. People in North Queensland don't like to be governed by someone in the south. We in Queensland, in the northern part of the colony, really felt that we weren't being looked after by the people down south. The population was only very tiny. The roads were very poor. Education system was very poor. All these things that we take for granted today didn't exist here then, and people really felt that Sydney wasn't looking after us. So there was certainly local forces at work supporting our own management, our own system, and our own government. And it's exactly what it is today. I mean, the same argument applies to people up in North Queensland. They allege that Brisbane doesn't look after them. Certainly the people up north don't think a great deal of Canberra. It's the same thing. The further you get from the government headquarters, the further agitation, the more agitation there is against them. And that certainly was a reason then. people felt that Sydney wasn't looking after them. And there was also issues about convicts. The convict system had closed down, and a lot of these squatters out in the western ranges, out at the Lockyer Valley, they wanted to have their own convicts, and they wanted convicts brought to Brisbane and restarting the convict system so they get free labour. But that argument was there initially, but it died very quickly. But it certainly was there in the beginning. But the main reason was there was disenchantment with Sydney.
You said that the state was, I guess, born on the 10th of December with the reading.
Colony, not state.
The colony, yes.
Yes, of course. The colony was born on the 10th of December.
Yes. Slip of the tongue there on my part. How long was it between then and the colony becoming self-governing? Did it happen straight away? Or
Instantly. When Queen Victoria signed the letters of patent, the New South Wales government and the Imperial government in England passed, the constitution came into effect instanter. And so there was a constitution, and it was identical constitution to New South Wales, and with some minor exceptions. And Queensland really was the first colony in the world, first British colony, to take effect with representative government and also responsible government at that very instant. And that was the instant. So it took effect straight away at the moment that the proclamation was read from the from Queensland itself or from Brisbane itself. So it took effect. It took time for elections to take place. And that didn't take place to the following year. Brisbane became a city council even before separation, by the way, even before 10th of December. It took effect straight away. As I say, it took time for the elections, and the colony had no money, so that was always an issue. It was broke. I mean, it had nothing. And if it wasn't for Gympie with the gold rush that took place over the next few years, that really saved Brisbane, saved Queensland. And don't forget, the population was only tiny. It only had a few thousand people over the whole colony. So the amount of money coming into its coffers was very limited. And things like schools and water systems and transport systems, they just didn't exist.
Mm. Well, so people living in Gympie have extra reason to celebrate because they, in effect, saved the colony in the early days.
They did do that in the first few years because the gold rush started a few years later. Within a short period of time, and it was their gold rush that brought people in, brought money in, and Brisbane boomed. Brisbane just boomed. Just think, in 1842, when Brisbane was opened up to free settlement, and there was nobody living here then virtually, the convict settlement had closed only a short period before, so there was only a handful of people here. By 1859, which is 17 years later, there were a few thousand people living in and around southeast corner, mostly in Brisbane. A lot of squatters around and in Lockyer Valley and that type of place. But there's still only a few thousand people. And what is it now? 5 million today. So we've done very well in terms of people and all the facilities that we now have. And Brisbane as a city itself, a magnificent place. And it was only a short period of time ago that we became a separate colony. And then we became a state when Australia was federated, taking effect in January 1901.
Fantastic.
So it's a wonderful story, our history, from that time, from being a colony to a state, to how we are today. And who knows where we're going to be in another 100 years' time. And we're very fortunate in some ways. I know I'm a bit of a British file, but we have this system. We don't have revolutions. Our change takes place slowly with incremental steps by evolution. And there will be evolutionary things happening over the next decades, I would expect. You think the issue of the crown is one. We probably won't have a crown as our head. The Aboriginal community will probably have a greater role to play in these structures that we'll have in the future. But who knows? I mean, I probably won't be around to hear them. and to find out what they are. But the changes will continue to take place as they will, as they have, and it's all been slowly and will continue to be like that. So we're very privileged to be here.
Yeah, it's a good future to look forward to. But for people who are interested in looking back at the past, how can people find out more through the Queensland Historical Society?
Well, the Historical Society are always organising events and functions. The Royal Historical Society was established in 1915, or before that, and they've been writing papers on the history of nearly every aspect of our history ever since. So every month we have a lecture, we have dinners to celebrate. We're having dinner tonight at the Brisbane Club, and His Excellency the Governor is attending, and we have a guest speaker. I'll be speaking for a few minutes as president about the history of Queensland. And so if people become involved with the Historical Society, you tend to learn these things very quickly. You pick up knowledge about these things because people like me are going to be talking, and and not just me, there's dozens of us that have knowledge about these things. And you just learn over time, and very quickly, I must say, if you get involved with the society. That's what it is, the History Society. So I encourage you all to join.
Fantastic. Well, look up the Queensland Historical Society. It's fairly easy to find just by Googling it is how I found about it, and plenty of information there. And thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us on air today.
Thank you very much, and the pleasure is all mine.